Welcome to Nightlife, the first hour.
Well, we're going to take you in tonight into a world of grit and glamour and guns, not the kind of guns you shoot. I mean, guns as in your arms, strong ones at that. The world of bodybuilding. Now, most of you might think, well, bodybuilding, that's spray tans and Arnold Schwarzenegger. Yes, that's one side of the sport, but it's also about training and eating correctly, having the mental discipline to keep going and being able to strike a pose. Some might think it's exotic and weird. Not so. There are all kinds of types of bodybuilding in Australia, amateur, professional, natural bodybuilding, and many different kinds of competitions. Tonight we thought we'd get an insight into this world by speaking to a broad range of people. Australia's oldest female bodybuilder at 79 years old, a trainer and bodybuilder promoter, and a young man who's just moved from amateur to professional bodybuilding in the last year. Why do people get into it? What are the thrills? What are the spills? And despite an increase in interest, why is it not a mainstream sport in Australia? First up tonight, I'm joined by 79-year-old natural bodybuilder, Janice Lorraine. Janice, good evening to you and welcome to Nightlife.
Thank you, Phil.
It's terrific to have you with us. I'm also joined by gym owner, promoter and trainer, Tony Doherty. Tony, good evening to you and welcome to Nightlife.
Good evening.
Terrific to have both of you with us. Janice, can I start with you? You're born in 1942. You're turning 80 this year.
That's right.
But you're obviously not slowing down, Janice.
Oh, no, well, not at all. I would like to be able to compete when I turn 80. Just to show that it can be done, that you don't have to be in a nursing home and very frail, that you can actually be strong at the age of 80.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just thinking, do you win all the competitions you're in because there's no one in your age
well,
that's there?
Mostly, but sometimes I do have competitors. It's all been a wonderful experience. And it came to me because when I retired, I really wanted to be strong and I was doing aerobics. And, of course, that's good for your figure and fitness, but doesn't do much for your bone density. But the weight room was dominated by men. There's no women allowed in there, you see. And then I saw this old woman who was really in a really frail state, and I thought, I'm going to go into that weight room. Well, I wasn't very popular, I can tell you that. They say, stand over me and say, how many sets have you got to do, you know? And then a fellow saw me there and he saw I was keen, so he trained me. And then he said at the end of the 12 months, there's a competition up in Sydney. Would you like to go? And I thought, well, nothing ventured, nothing gained.
Mm-hmm.
So up I went.
How old were you in your late 50s by this stage, were you?
I was 56. And then when there was only one competitor, she was 48, and yeah. I was 56 at the time. And she told me that she had a beautiful body and two daughters. One had a beautiful body like her, and the other one was a skinny little rabbit like me. And so my confidence went right down. Went out on the stage, to cut a long story short, I won. And I didn't know why I won, but I was told I had the bone density, whereas she didn't. She didn't have that. So if there's strong bones, because I've always been worried, about this notion of osteoporosis.
Yeah, no, it's a thing. Well, it's a thing, isn't it? I mean, yeah.
Definitely people.
Yeah.
And I've seen people my age just shuffling around, you know, skinny, hardly able to move. It's such a shame. There's no need.
Yeah. What? Tell me the, because I mean, a lot of people, I think of bodybuilding as, you know, slugging down lots of protein powder and maybe artificial steroids and all of this sort of thing. There's another whole side of it called natural bodybuilding, isn't it? And this is what you're doing. That's what you're doing.
Yes.
So explain that concept to me.
Well, the fact is you just don't take any thing to enhance your body or make you stronger. It's all hard work. And you just you start on the machines and you work out all the different machines that will help different parts of your body. And so you do that and it's dreadful. My mind just sometimes, my partner just walked down and sort of took my mind off what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then you sort of go on the different machines and make sure each part of your body is getting the right sort of exercise and strengthening. And so that's how you do it.
In one of your competitions, two young women came up to you and said, "We love you. We want to be like you, not like our grandmothers." Tell me that story.
Oh, that was lovely. Yes, that was when I was about 65, I think. And I won that trip. I was the only person in my age category. Anyway, these two young women came running up to me. "We love you." And I thought, "I don't even know you." "We didn't know till we saw you on stage that a woman at that age could be muscular and fit and wear a bikini." That was a big thing. and I was just so thrilled. It really did. So I often think about it, and I still get that. We don't have to be like our grandparents. We can be like you, and that was lovely.
Yeah. So tell me, like you do it with weights, and you presumably eat correctly.
Definitely.
What else?
That's important. Well, there's not much else you need to do, apart from that you've got to learn your poses but and how to pose. But, and of course...
And you pose in the bikini, do you, Janice?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. But, you know, also your diet's very, very important. So I don't eat sausages and bacon and things like that with a lot of greasy stuff in it. I don't fry food. I usually, you know, have it in the microwave. Or I do put something in the fry pan, it's very limited butter underneath it. So that's how I manage.
It's a great...
I enjoy it.
No,
I don't have hankering for cakes and all that sort of...
Yeah. What's the category that you compete in, Janice? Is it, 70 or older or something, or what?
Well, depends, like... 70, I would be 70 now, and I would be in that category now. In Italy, I competed in the 70s, and that was good, but I was the only competitor. It was a world championship over there, and yes, I was a bit disappointed about that. I was hoping that there'd be more. But, you know, the main thing is that you're out there showing it's possible. Whether you've got competition or not doesn't matter. What you're showing is other people. You can be strong, in shape, at an older age. And that gives heart to people. I find now that there's, in the different organisations, quite a few of the people over 50. There was one girl at my gym. She said, "Oh, I won the 50s. I said, "Oh, fantastic." And she's so beautiful, and she's so alive. And this is what it does. It makes you alive. It makes you... strong. It does all those things for you and gives you a good outlook on life. But you know that you're not just subject to time eating you away.
Yeah.
I suppose
the other thing, I want to come to Tony in a moment too, but I suppose the other thing is that it challenges a lot of, stereotypes about women not being interested in strength, more being interested in how they look. And you're saying, well, hang on, that's right. The two are not unrelated. Is that what you're thinking?
That's right, they are not. Yes, and it's a real what's that? What's that, David? Barnaby Joyce's wife. He was saying came into the bodybuilding because of that. So
that's right. That's right. Yes. Well, exactly. Have you competed against her, or does she compete? I don't know.
I haven't competed against her. She's up in the other. She's probably up at Armidale or somewhere like that, or where they live.
Yes. No. That's right. Famously,
I have had competition.
All right. Janice Lorraine is with us, 79 years old, natural bodybuilder, and a great role model for women in later years to get strong and get with it. Let's bring Tony Doherty in here. Tony, gym owner, former strength coach for the Carlton Footy Club, and you're also head of the IFBB Pro League Bodybuilding Federation. Your story reads, Tony travelled from Bendigo to Melbourne in 1994 with nothing but a truckload of broken gym equipment, $250,000 worth of debt and a dream. What was the dream, Tony?
Well, I always knew that I wanted to be a gym owner and a promoter and a bodybuilder, and I've done that right through to promoting the Arnold Schwarzenegger Classic here in Melbourne for 5 years until the pandemic hit. Mm-hmm. And we've run hundreds of amateur and professional shows here in Australia, and I've got to travel all over the world as an MC and an interviewer and all that sort of thing, and seen everything good about bodybuilding, you know. And it's great to hear someone like Janice, because it just shows that it's one of those sports you can do at any age and be your best.
Yeah, is it? Well, to give me an idea of the size of it, Tony, is it how big is it in Australia?
Well, you know, when we're going full steam before all the lockdowns and things, for example, at the Arnold Sports Festival here in Melbourne, which we is one of our two pro qualifiers for the year, We'd have up to 400 and 500 competitors trying to get their pro card across all the different categories. And, you know, over the years, there's been more and more categories introduced. So things are more achievable. So with the men, there's a men's physique. And with the women, there's a women's bikini division, a figure division, and all these different divisions that are way more achievable than near the hardcore professional bodybuilding. And then people can work their way through the ranks to have whatever sort of physique they want.
So you don't have to look like Arnold Schwarzenegger to win, in other words.
Well, no, but you know, in the men's open bodybuilding, you know, bodybuilding's gone a long way since Arnold retired, you know, probably 40 years ago, and these guys are monsters. But they're genetic freaks. I mean, at the end of the day, you can have all the protein you want, you can train all you want, but it's a very elite thing for the people that are successful as professionals.
There's a bit of a split between amateur and pro bodybuilding. What's a professional bodybuilder?
Well, they get to compete in the Arnold Classic in the US. They get to compete in the Mr. Olympia.
Yeah.
And you know, those shows have $400,000 US prize money for first place and that sort of thing.
Oh, wow.
And they get to
$500,000. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And that's US. And then they can get sponsorships and guest appearances. So it changes everything. I guess the best analogy is, like, you know, AFL football, you can play at a club level and not get paid and just do it for fun and for a hobby.
Yeah.
And then if you make it into the big league as a professional footballer, then you get paid very handsomely to do that.
Yeah.
And golf and tennis and everything else. I'm just watching the tennis now, and, you know, these guys are the best in the world, and in bodybuilding it's exactly the same thing.
Actually, we should pass on news that Nick Kyrgios has been beaten by Medvedev in three sets.
Good for a while.
Entertaining match. He did come good for a while, Nick Kyrgios, but he's gone down as expected, I think, to Medvedev, who is certainly ranked much more highly against him. But Kyrgios played well. He was entertaining. A lot of people look at bodybuilders, Tony, and say, well, you know, they're muscle-bound, but, you know, I wonder what they're like at anything else. Are they athletic? Are you limber? Have you got a lot of flexibility? What do you like when you've got a big muscle bound body like that?
Well, everyone's different. You know, some of the guys in their posing routines do the splits, for example. You know, 300-pound guys that are completely flexible, and others are kind of muscle bound because they don't do their stretching. But overall, you know, you work on all aspects of your fitness, and you've got to get your body fat very, very low to show your muscles off, and that's when all the veins and everything come out and you put the tan on. But it's a very, very elite thing, and people do look at it and they don't understand it, but it's like if someone's into drag racing or NASCAR or, you know, lawn bowls, and you're not into it, you look at that and you think, what do they do that for? So it's kind of a subculture, if you like.
Yeah.
And it's huge for the people that do it. You know, they live it and they breathe it, and it's a great lifestyle. And I think as Janice proves, you can do it, you know, at any age. And, you know, people start in their 40s and 50s as amateurs and get into the best shape of their lives. So it's a great thing.
Yeah, we're talking about bodybuilding tonight. It's you might think it's a bit niche, but not so. Lots and lots of people are involved in this. Janice Lorraine's one of my guests tonight. She's 79 and she's competing at the top level and winning. Tony Doherty's with us as well, who's a promoter and trainer. Tony, you run an event called the Arnold Classic, which gives me a hint at least of where this might have had its inspiration. Have you met Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Yeah, well, he's my business partner. So he comes out to Melbourne every year for our event, or he did up until, you know, we got closed down with the pandemic. So he's been to Melbourne 5 or 6 times as our business partner, and he presents a trophy to the amateur winner that gets their pro card. And he's very, very involved in the whole thing. You know, and I emcee the professional show, and he comes up on stage, and it's one of his favourite cities in the world. And then I travel with him. We do one in Johannesburg and one in Columbus, Ohio, one in Barcelona, one in São Paulo in Brazil. So it's a huge thing. When he got out of politics, he decided to take his fitness crusade to the whole world. And it's not just bodybuilding. At the Arnold Sports Festivals, we have up to 50 different sports all within the expo. So it's a very, very exciting thing. And you know, when he walks through the expo, you know, we can have 70,000 people come through the doors in Melbourne in one weekend. And when he walks through, and we have a big bubble around him, and it's the most exciting thing that the fans ever see.
Yeah, I'm sure that's right. All right, I'm sure they go nuts. Is it the case of the bigger, the better in this sport, Tony, or is there something else that's going on?
Well, at the top level, they're all big, you know, so it comes down to definition, which means getting your body fat so low you can see through your skin and see every single muscle. So, you know, when they're all big, well, something's got to separate them. That comes down to balance and symmetry, and most of all, what we call condition, which is how low you can get your body fat.
Mm-hmm.
So they deplete themselves the last few days, and they, you know, dry out and have less water and all this sort of thing. It's a real science. And some guys look fantastic a week or two out, and then they blow it. You know, they eat the wrong thing or don't have enough water, have too little water. All these things come into it. So normally, if they're all in shape, the leanest one will win the show.
I suppose one of the other things that that a lot of people think when they look at them is think, oh, well, they're all on steroids. Is that the case? I mean, some aspects of the sport are actually drug tested, aren't they? Yeah,
absolutely. It's like all sports. You know, there's definitely drugs in sport. You know, when you look at cycling and swimming and half the Olympic sports have had a terrible track record with that. But in any sport, it really comes down to genetics. So someone could take all the steroids they wanted, but they still couldn't look like a professional bodybuilder because they don't have the right mum and dad to start with. So it really is a very elite genetic sport. And, of course, those kind of things, help at the top end, but they don't all take them. And, you know, there's hundreds of people that compete and train that will never take a drug in their life.
No, and there are some competitions, aren't there, which I think I mentioned this, are drug-tested. And other competitions aren't, but it's not the case. It is the case that some of them are drug-tested, I think, by official bodies, aren't they? The Australian Sports Anti-Doping Authority, ASADA, I think, does test some of these competitions, don't they?
They do test some of the competitions, but like all sports, people still cheat and get around the
tests. Oh, yeah, no, of course.
As we've seen every other sport. But, you know, I think it's a very, very healthy lifestyle because you learn so much about nutrition and your body. And, you know, it really is, it's a lifestyle. That's the best way you can put it. And the competition's just a very small part of it.
Hmm.
You can't put yourself through months of grueling dieting and training if you don't really love it. So you've got to have a great passion for it because it's really hard and it's a really lonely sport. Because you can't have a day off, you can't have a single drink, you can't have a dessert. You've just got to stick on that diet for months at a time. And there's probably no other sport where you just don't get a day off.
Wow. All right, Tony Doherty's with us. He's a bodybuilding promoter and gym owner and trainer. And we're talking about bodybuilding tonight. Janice Lorraine's also with us. Let's bring in Tony. Can you stay with us just for a few minutes?
I can stay for about two more minutes. I've got another call coming through from the US. So,
okay. Maybe I'll ask you one more question, and then maybe we'll say goodbye to you. But tell me, when you say you've got to stick on the diet, just tell me a bit about the diet.
Well, you have very, very low carbohydrates. So, you know, there's no bread, there's no pasta, you know, really maybe one portion of potatoes or rice a day. So it's just all protein and vegetables. And depending how your genetics are, some people have to just live on fish and salad for 4 or 6 weeks, you know, in the closing stages to get that body fat down.
Mm.
So it's terrible because you have to feel bad to look good.
Janice, women have been told this their whole lives, haven't they?
Well, yes, that's right. But I don't have to do what he has, what the other fellow does, because I'm thin to start with, and I've got to build the strength of the bones and the muscles. But I'm a very sort of small person, but I do have good muscles.
Good on you. All right, Tony, I understand you've got to go. Appreciate that. Appreciate your time, and thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me on. And to all the people that are listening out there, you know, get yourselves into the gym and try it. Even if you never compete, you can be in the best shape of your life and feel great about yourself. Yeah. And that's the best part of it. Thanks, Phil.
Thanks, Tony. Good on you. Bye-bye. Tony Doherty, our guest tonight. Let's bring in Brad Dwight. Brad is a guy who turned pro in the last year. Brad, good evening. Welcome to Nightlife.
Thank you. How are you going?
Not too bad. So what were you doing before you became a professional bodybuilder?
Basically the same thing I'm still doing now. I'm just working in the construction industry, installing air conditioning.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What got you into it?
Into bodybuilding?
Yeah.
Well, I started out doing sprint running, like athletic track running and team sport, rugby league. Sort of fell away from the rugby league after high school and sort of fell in love with the more weight side of the training of the football. So gave away the football side and just focused on the training side and sort of became a bodybuilder without knowing that I was becoming a bodybuilder, in the way that I didn't know bodybuilding was a sport with competitions and fake tans and diets and all this thing. I just knew that I wanted to improve my physique. Coming through as a teenager, I was quite skinny and maybe had a little bit of acne. And building my physique, you know, I thought would build my confidence too, and it definitely did. And I fell in love with the training and the feeling of it and the self progression and everything you learn, the discipline that you get from being a bodybuilder. I fell in love with it. Yeah.
It seems a bit like a lonely sport in a way. Is it, Brad? I mean, you're doing all this on your own most of the time.
It can be. Of course, you are doing a lot of it on your own. You're cooking a lot of food all the time and you're doing a lot of hours of cardio and training. And even your sleep has to be regimented. Like, you have to plan to sleep a certain amount to recover properly from your workout so you can train adequately the following day. So there is a lot of regime to it. But, you know, we all have our little culture at our gyms. You know, hardcore bodybuilders tend to train at hardcore bodybuilding gyms, and we sort of get around other people like ourselves. And, you know, we mingle together, and it's not always so lonely especially when you're in a gym with another person that might be competing in the same competition that you are. Mm. You know, you sort of feel like you're in it together and there's a bit of a brotherhood or sisterhood or, you know, mateship about it.
All right. Janice, can we just get back to you on the issue of diet? You say you don't have to, you know, eat really spartanly. How do you do it? What's your give us an idea of what your diet's like.
Oh, well, I have cereal every morning, all different types, with chopped apple and muesli and that sort of thing, and dates. And then at lunchtime, I have something very simple like, what do you call them? I can't think of them. Rice cakes and peanut butter and cheese.
Yeah.
And then at the nighttime, I have salad. I have a lot of salad. I always have either steak or fish, or chicken, just plain, and I'll have some potato or sweet potato and that sort of thing. So I sort of have plenty to eat, but it isn't stuff like greasy stuff or sausages or, like, I always call it natural nude food.
Yeah. What about you, Brad? I mean, tell me a bit about your diet. Is it incredibly strict?
At the moment, I'm in an off-season phase, which is where you're trying to be in a calorie surplus, so you're eating excessive amounts of food to try and put on weight and, more to the point, muscle tissue, not just weight. You want to put on lean muscle tissue. So I eat quite a lot of food at the moment for me. I'm weighing at around 108, 110 at the moment. So I'm eating around the 5,000, just over 5,000 calorie mark at the moment to try and slowly gain lean muscle tissue into my next competition phase.
Did you say you weighed 810?
No, 110. Sorry.
Oh, I was going to say.
That's a big boy.
I was going to say, that's a big lad. What were you when you started, Brad?
I started competing when I was a teen. I got into it when people at the gym sort of saw me developing a physique and asked me, oh, mate, have you thought about competing? So I started relatively early and got into my first show as a natural competitor in one of the natural federations.
Yeah.
And competed as a teen, fell in love with that. And I weighed about 77 on stage. And I wasn't super ripped because it was my first competition. I snuck a few chocolates and a few burgers in my diet off the plan. You know, I didn't have the willpower that I have sort of developed now over the years of doing it over and over again. So for my first show, I will admit I slipped up on the diet.
Yeah, 1-300-800-222. Do people think of you as a meathead, Brad, or don't you worry about it?
I try not to worry about it, man. I keep my circle nice and small, and the people who I respect their opinion, I know how they feel about me, and that's all that really matters, I suppose. Other people who follow me on social media and things like that, and they seem to support me and like what I'm doing and what I'm all about, and they give me support, and I appreciate that too. So I don't feel any negative energy. I feel like people respect me for what I'm doing, and I feel accepted in most communities.
Sure. There is that stereotype about bodybuilders and steroids, isn't it? But, I mean, as we found out earlier talking to Tony, there's a whole lot of variation in the bodybuilding world. How do you cope with the suggestions when you meet people you don't know who think, oh, well, it's all drugs?
It's definitely not all drugs. There's a lot of dedication, a lot of sacrifice, a lot of hard work, a lot of time, a lot of reps, a lot of food, a lot of steps on the treadmill. There's a lot that goes into this. And to say that drugs play the huge role, that I could do it if I took the steroids, but, you know, I'm not doing the steroids, and that's why I'm not as big as that guy or as ripped as that guy. You know, there's natural athletes who compete who get ripped to shreds just with hard work. Like, it's not all about the steroids. Like, that does aid with recovery at the higher level when you're really pushing the training and you're doing it maybe at the elite professional level, as Tony said. But, you know, there are a lot of people putting in the hard work, completely natural, and getting the results. So people just like to make excuses, I think.
Janice, how many days a week do you train? Presumably, do you have a gym at home or do you go to a gym?
No, I go to the gym 3 days a week.
Right.
And I've been on two of the other days, I walk about 8Ks. So I'm sort of busy doing both, a little bit of work at home as well. Could I just say that one of the reasons I went into bodybuilding was because I wanted to help women feel better about themselves.
Yeah.
In those days, before I started bodybuilding, they'd call, often the men would say, "Old duck, old chook, old bag," and there were so-called funny things on the radio about women and how stupid they were, and it really sort of got to me. And I thought that I wanted to show them that older women, I want them to feel better about themselves and be strong and active and show them an active way forward, that they wouldn't have to have that title or that saying said to them. And I haven't heard that being said to women for a long time now.
Hmm.
So I'm very, very happy that women are now sort of, as I feel better about themselves when they're older, whereas before I used to see them sitting down all sort of, "Oh, there's not, I'm not nobody anymore because I'm older," you know.
Yeah.
And now women that wasn't just for me or what bodybuilding, but now women are now going and say, "I can be strong, I can be pretty at an older age, I can do these things." And that's the biggest, because I'm a psychologist, and that's why I'm geared that way.
Mm. Yeah, Angela from Lilydale's texted in saying, "I've retired at 53. I'm still going to the gym and my home gym. I do it. It gives me good feelings physically and mentally. Use it or lose it, I say. I've got plenty of time. I've retired. I don't like golf. I like consistency and habits and like-minded people, and I enjoy a Mediterranean diet. I've got osteopenia, so now bones and muscles and brain." Girl. Sounds a bit like you, Janice, does she?
Yeah. I sort of girl that one, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. What's the difference, Brad, between, I know you're obviously strong, but what's the difference between you and a weightlifter, for example, an Olympic weightlifter?
I guess the basic difference would be that I'm training to sculpt a certain look, whereas a weightlifter or powerlifter is training purely for strength and to try and shift a weight from A to B and back to A again, I guess. Whereas I'm trying to stretch and contract and tear the muscle or break the muscle down, not tear the muscle, but micro tear the muscle to break it down and then eat the required amount of food and sleep the required amount to recover, to build new muscle in its place and train accordingly to where I feel like I need to improve areas. So say I need bigger shoulders, I will prioritize my training to suit that, or legs or any body part. So that's the difference, I guess. I think the strength athletes train more with a certain form and rep range that accommodates what they need, and bodybuilders are more about volume and creating a look.
Okay. So in the gym, you wouldn't be able to lift as much as some others, but that's not your goal anyway.
I do okay. Like, I like to try and still be strong. I like the aspect of strength training. I like the feeling of being strong and being useful, you know what I mean? Like, So I still like to try and lift heavy, but I don't go all the way up to doing like one repetition, like one maximum lift. I do more, but 8 reps to up to 20 reps in some sets, you know what I mean? So I do more volume in my sets, you know, with a little lesser weight, still heavy as I possibly can for those amount of reps. So I work to failure and break down the muscle tissue, like I said before.
Right.
But not trying to lift one all out weight.
Yeah, have you ever had joint problems, Janice, as you've gone along? Because I think a lot of people listening might think if you're lifting all these heavy weights, you're going to have joint problems.
You don't have to have heavy weights. I mean, what happens when you first start? You can't do very much on the machine at all. It's you probably got it on a very light way, and then as you go along, you get stronger and you put more and more weights on, and gradually you can do these things. You know, really, really well. I mean, apart from the gentleman who was just speaking then, women would prefer to look good, be vital and exciting, and be in good shape and strong. But you don't have to be huge to have the things that I think make women happy. They don't want to be like a you know, gorilla lookalike. They want to be somebody that looks really great, healthy, strong, in shape, with some muscles. That's good,
yeah.
But not like a man might like to work.
Yeah, one of my texters, Brad, says, "Oh, you know, Fooey, but bodybuilding is all about ego and vanity. It's not the same as health and it's not the same as health and fitness." That you're annoyed about this, Janice. Go on, maybe you first. Go on.
Well, I'm just thinking, you know, that this idea, old duck, old chook, old bag, and they sort of, I just find that just so degrading for women.
Hmm.
You know, I mean, we've had that for many, many years, and I think that's changing. I really do think that's changing. But as far as, I don't know, like, what was the question again?
Well, my texter says bodybuilding seems all about ego and vanity. It's not the same as health and fitness.
Oh, hell no. No, not at all. I mean, yes, of course, you get excited when you win something and the crowds are clapping and stuff like that, but anyone would. But, you know, no, it's not for that. It's so that you can go out and when you're anywhere and feel that you look good no matter what you've got on because you're in good shape and you're strong and you're vital. These are the things that make you look attractive and people want to be with you as well because you're an interesting and an open sort of happy person because you feel good about yourself.
Mm. Mm, okay. 1-300-800-222 is the number. By the way, just to interrupt for a quick second here, Brad and Janice, the West Australian Premier, this is breaking news, West Australian Premier Mark McGowan has just finishing up a press conference, which he's called for the evening. It started about over 10 minutes ago. And Western Australia is not going to open up after February the 5th. That was the date they'd proposed to open, but WA is going to maintain their hard border after February the 5th. There were a lot of people predicting this would happen, but an anxious public in WA has obviously weighed on the Premier's mind, and WA is going to continue their hard border after February the 5th. We'll have some more details, of course, in the news and later.
Nightlife with Philip Clark on ABC Radio.
Just back to you, Brad, on that one. I mean, this idea that that bodybuilding is all about ego and vanity and not about health and fitness. I mean, you presumably don't buy that. What do you say about it?
I think bodybuilder has become a pretty umbrella term, which throws a lot of people under the same banner. And for me, it was never about vanity. I was under-muscled. I was athletic growing up, but not big as I would have liked to have been, as built as I would have liked to have been.
Mm.
So I started lifting weights. I didn't even know bodybuilding was a thing. I didn't know there was competitions. I didn't know you could win money. I didn't know you could be a professional like I am now. I didn't know any of these things. I just liked the way it felt to lift weights. It made me feel good. I saw the development and that made me feel good. And it uplifts you internally as well as externally. So you look good and you feel good out on the outside and you feel good on the inside. And that radiates out into the world, you know, and when you look good, you feel good. You know, that cliche.
Mm.
It's so true. It's not about vanity. Well, I guess for some people, it is. Some people really try and fight the aging process, and the same can be said for all the people that inject a lot of Botox and things like that. You know, they're just fighting the aging process, and I think some people are trying to run from that. But some people do it not to fight the aging process, but so when you get to that age, you still feel good. Like Janice was saying, you know, it's about being vital, it's about being active, and you know, bone density, tendon strength, all that stuff. If you're doing things properly and doing things safely at that age, it is the fountain of youth. You know, you will feel better for doing so, for putting 1 hour a day in.
I can vouch for that. I can vouch for the, you know, whatever you're doing, whatever exercise you're doing, it's all good for you. Hayden's on the line. G'day, Hayden.
G'day, mate. How are you?
Not bad.
I just had a question for Brad.
Yeah.
I actually follow him on Instagram.
Okay.
And
good on you, mate. Thanks for the support. Appreciate that.
Yeah, I reckon you'd probably know my name anyway on there, but I just had a couple of questions, or one question.
Hmm.
What would be two tips you'd give someone competing in the next 18 months?
Just pin your ears back, go hard, stick to the plan, visualize the win. Don't be bummed out if you fall short. As long as you did your best, you can hold your head high. Just nail all, just tick all the boxes, cross the T's, dot the I's, do your posing, do your cardio, do your weights, eat your food, stick to the plan. You can't go wrong with sticking to the plan, mate.
All right, awesome.
Good on you. On you, Hayden.
That, I love that.
Good luck, mate. Good luck, mate.
Good on you, brother. Good luck, mate. Good on you.
Good luck to you too. Learning, Janice, learning to flex all your muscles at once, that can be quite hard. Can it? When you're posing, are you trying to flex every muscle in your body?
Yeah, well, your arms and you got to push your stomach, like you pull it in, but you actually like pressing it out in a sense to get the muscles to show. Yeah. No, it's not hard. I don't find that difficult at all. And then you just tighten up each part of your body, and then you just hold the pose.
Yeah, what about you, Brad? Does that mean, is it hard? I mean, do you go into a kind of locked spasm if you try and flex everything at once or not?
I've been lucky enough to have never really had a cramping issue on stage, but a lot of my mates and fellow competitors have said that once they've hit a pose and locked it in, they start to get a cramp in the pec or in the leg or in the calf when they're on stage, and it hurts, almost wants to, they want to drop, but you know, you stand firm and you hit your poses and you be a warrior on stage and you tough it out and then you sulk about it later. But yeah. I've been lucky personally. I've never had any issues. I've always been hydrated to the right point and just had everything balanced right to get away with it.
What about other sports to both of you? Brad, do you run? And I mean, is running part of it or do you play other sports, football or anything like that?
At this stage of my life, it's all bodybuilding right now and I work in construction, so a bit of a laborious job. So, yeah, but it's all focused on bodybuilding at the moment. I don't play any other sports. Growing up, I track running and football, like you mentioned. I did all that. I skateboarded, my real passion is in bodybuilding. I found my home in bodybuilding and I'll stick here for a little while.
Mm. What about you, Janice? Did you have a sporting background?
No, I don't. But I do 2 8K walks a week, so we're in between the gym. So yeah, that's all I do. I've never been a real sportsman, no. I'm a psychologist and basically been interested more in people's minds. And you know, I played soccer some years ago. That was pretty exciting.
Mm.
But it's just I want people to see that it's possible for older women to be strong and in shape at an older age. It's just so sad to see people just, you know, big stomachs and waddling, and it's just, it shouldn't be that way.
Eve has texted saying, I'm 61, female. I love being fit and strong. I'm not a bodybuilder as such. I just like being fit and strong. No bat wing arms. Well, it's true, Eve. There's a lot of women at all stages of their life concentrate on weight rather than, and worry that if they, you know, try and develop muscles in their body, that they're worried about putting on weight. What do you say to them about that?
No, not at all. No, not at all. I think muscles are very, very good for you. They're strong. And if you are getting muscles, the chances are that you, to get the muscles, I think you have, the rest of your body is going to have some sort of a change, isn't it? Because you're working on those muscles. Well, then the rest of your body's got to come into line as well.
Hmm. Yep. All right. Trevor is with us. Hello, Trev.
Hello, mate. How are you?
Not bad. You're in Genesis territory. You're 2 weeks off turning 80.
Yep. And I've done it since I was 21, and never competed or anything like that. I just liked the going to the beach. And when I started off, it was an ego thing naturally.
Yeah.
But I mean, when you get to 40 on from there, it's discipline of the training. Eating right and keeping off the grog and smoke and all that stuff. And I just like the discipline. And I'm 2 weeks off turning 80, and I've, up until the COVID started 2 years ago, I've got photos on my cell phone of the gym with 220 pounds in the old and 110 kilo in the modern. And I could still, a couple of years ago, I could lift it off. I made myself a bodybuilding rack that I didn't need a spotter.
Mm-hmm.
Mate had it set up so I could put the lift it
so
off.
So you could be safe if you couldn't handle it. Yep, yep.
Yeah, I could lift it off and just drop it a few, do 10 small ones, you know, and put it back on the rack.
Mm.
And that's the sort of discipline thing. If I can do that, then I'm not going heavier than that, no way. But I love the discipline of it. And 4 nights, Tuesday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, Friday, and up till the COVID started a couple of years ago, I was swimming 30 laps on a Saturday morning with Masters. But the COVID buggered me up with the swimming, so I just stick to the bodybuilding, you know. But Unfortunately for me, I've just contracted in the last 6 months chronic lymphocytic leukemia.
Oh no!
But I still go out in the gym and do me do what I can, you know.
Yeah.
Because I just love the pump and the discipline.
Yeah, good on you. Well, Trev, good on you, and good luck with that. That's going to be a journey, Trev. But good on you, good on you. Thank you. Janice and Brad, that's part of the thing, isn't it? It's a discipline. That once you're in it, has a lot of reward. I mean, despite what others might think from the outside. Do you think, Janice?
Oh, definitely. Well, I know at the gym I go to, I've created something called the Gym Family.
Yeah.
Getting to know everybody and it's a vibrant gym. It's just a wonderful feeling to be the question that you asked. Just say again the what you asked me again in the beginning.
Oh no, that's all right. It was just about the sense of discipline that you need to keep it going. That can be hugely rewarding.
Oh, you have. The discipline, but yeah. If people are happy, like if you create an environment in the gym, if you go to the effort of doing that, people will come because they come and see their friends, but they'll do their workout as well.
Mm.
Whereas when I first started at the gym, there was sort of no one there all that much, and nobody spoke to anybody. So I started using people's names, getting to know their names, and then people started to talk to each other, and the more they talked to each other, the more they got to know each other, and so therefore it was not just way they work with a gym, they're actually there to see friends and have a sort of a chat, which is really important for everybody.
Sure.
And so I called it the Gym Family, and I used to run a little Christmas party every year for them.
I like that. Sharon, hello, Sharon.
Hi, how are you?
Not bad.
That's good. I just want to ask a question. I used to go to the gym when I was young. I'm 61 now, and I used to go to the gym when I was in my 30s, and I loved it. I loved all the weightlifting, and I always wanted to compete.
Yep.
But I never got around to it because I had three young kids. So now I've had a bit of turmoil, had cancer, all that sort of stuff, and now I really want to get back into the gym work. And I wondered, do they do competitions for women of that age group or no? And if they do, how do you know where to go?
Janice?
Oh, well, there's quite a few organisations that you can go to. You mean to actually create to the gym, you mean, or do you mean to be able to compete?
I think Sharon wants to get back into it and wants to know how you start.
Yeah.
How you start.
And also, if you once you start, because I quite enjoyed it, about the competing as well.
Hmm.
I see. Well, you'll find, I should imagine that somebody will know some organisation that's there. But there's ways of looking at that on the internet.
Mm.
But you need to be able to be introduced somehow so that you feel comfortable. Be sure that if you asked around at the gym, that there'll be somebody who knows somebody who has an organisation.
Okay. Yeah.
And
are you back in the gym, Sharon?
I have. I've started again. Yep.
Yes. Yeah. Someone will know, and you just keep asking.
Okay, then.
And yeah. Because I wouldn't have a clue at just where you could go, but there'll be a place. There will be.
Yeah.
May okay, I interject?
Problem. Yeah, come in, Brad. Yeah, jump in. Yeah.
I know that there are some federations here in Canberra. ICN is one that's nationwide, particularly that has categories for intermediate competitors, men and women, that are more for transformation, where you submit a before photo and then you show up on the day and they compare you more to your own self rather than a lineup of other people.
Oh, wow.
They
okay.
also have different age categories for masters in all the women's categories, and you can find a division that suits you better. And there also is now in some states they'll host an event called Bikini Mamas, which is for women who have had children who have just tried to get back in shape, and you'll be on stage with other women like yourself who've just gone through the same journey, and that can be a really special moment to share with other women similar to yourself as well.
Right.
So it's not as much about elite level competition or just showing up to come dead last
to a bunch
of younger women or anything like that.
I can tell you.
There are definitely categories for intermediate level and beginner level
competitors
at any age. So you can just look into that. And I know the ICN and the ANB are two natural federations.
So this is
Australia wide.
You can find these on the internet, can you? The ICN and the ANB.
Yep, that's two
ANB
that I know of them.
That are
natural federations that are nationwide.
This is natural bodybuilding, Sharon.
That's just natural. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's all I want. Yeah. Oh, fantastic. Well, great. Thanks very much.
Good on it. Yeah, no, Sharon, work on the guns.
I certainly will. Thank you.
Yeah, good luck.
See ya. Bye-bye. My texter, Judy, says, hi, Phil and Guess. I'm 68, I'm female, and I'm preparing to hike the Great Ocean Walk in March. 100 Ks, carrying a backpack over 6 days. I'm strong and fit, and I'm loving it. Good on you, Judy. That's a thing, isn't it, Janice? The rewards of being strong for women. Mm. I mean, a lot of the women, I think, probably don't appreciate it as much. They think it's better to, as you say, to look good rather than to be strong. But as you say, the two go hand in hand.
They do, but they're hand in hand. A lot of people think if you do weight resistance training, you become like a gorilla lookalike.
Yeah.
But you don't. That's just the thing. It just will make those muscles strong and make your whole body feel good, and you'll just feel so much more alive, and you'll enjoy life heaps more. It'll make a huge difference to you, because I know when I had to have 6 months off because I had to have foot operation on both feet, and I had to stay in bed for like eight weeks, 10 weeks, whatever it was. And then when I could get up, I could only just hardly walk, and I just got the feeling of how it must be for people who are have got problems, I thought, gee whiz, you know, and people treated me differently. They wanted to help me all the time.
I felt
gee whiz, I've never experienced that before, and I realised how other people must feel in that situation. So it was good for me to go through that. But then, of course, it took me a while, but I got my strength back, even though after 2 feet operations, when I was really fit, I had no muscle, no strength at all at the end of that particular 9 or 10 months, whatever it was.
Brad, do you sometimes feel like a bloke with a ute? You know, anytime anybody wants to move, they call on you?
Well, I am a bloke with a ute, so that's exactly what I am. And I am just a muscle-bound freak to most people. So, yeah, I am basically just a human forklift and always getting called for favours, lift this, lift that. I actually do work in the construction industry where I feel like my primary job sometimes is just lifting air conditioning units and them around. So, I do feel like that sometimes.
You'd be phenomenally useful. How many hours a day do you reckon you have to work at it to be in reasonable shape and to be any good, Brad?
To be at the level that I've had to be at, I've dedicated a lot of time and sacrificed a lot of things. Not sacrificed in a big way like poor me or anything, but I've not gone out for drinks or celebratory events or partying or anything like that since about the age of 18, since I was allowed to go out and drink. I have since stopped drinking. You know, I may have had a few cheeky ones as a youngster, but since turning 18, I've basically been off the drink now till 28, so 10 years, basically alcohol-free and just focusing on bodybuilding, not because I have any stance on anti-alcohol or anything. I don't enjoy that feeling anymore. And where my focus is where my heart is. So good on it you. Doesn't matter.
Good on you. Health and strength, not just for blokes either. It's for women as well. Brad, terrific to talk with you. Good luck. And, good luck in your pro league adventures as well. Appreciate your time.
Thank you very much. Hopefully next year I'll be able to get overseas, or the end of this year, sorry, and get overseas and do my first professional competition in America if Tony, who was on before, can't put on a Australian professional show again before then, because COVID's obviously ruined all that. And can I also just say that I've recently just started taking clients in Gold's Gym in Canberra, so if there are any listeners in Canberra who want to start getting into the gym and general weight loss or even start focusing on bodybuilding training, you can get in touch with me through my Instagram and Facebook.
Good on you, mate.
Thanks a lot. I really want to build that business and help people change their lives.
Good
that's
on
what
you.
It's all about. It's all about positive energy. Peace out and be kind to each other. Take care.
Good on you, Brad. And Janice Lorraine, terrific to talk with you, Janice. That's great stuff. And good
Thank
luck
you
to
having you. Having me on the show.
Appreciate your time. Thank you.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife. Yeah.